the Dharma, the teaching of practice, the practice teaching, is rarely encountered, always encountered, can't help but be encountered, always, right here, now we see this, hear this, receive and maintain this. This is the practice that life manifests moment by moment. We know it, we don't know it. Knowing it, not a big deal. Not knowing it, rarely encountered. Knowing it, it's to embrace and breathe it. Before this talk, I was walking outside along the driveway. There are some sort of evergreen bush hedge which has grown up quite a bit in the last number of years, become quite thick and heavy. So there were Dharma talks, Dharma chanting of the birds who love to be in there and join us, preaching the Dharma to us morning, noon, and night. Sometimes the traffic joins them. All the birds of all sorts, sparrows, hedge birds, other birds, known and unknown, reminding us, here, now, singing the Dharma, expressing the Dharma, manifesting the Dharma. So we say practice. Practice is descriptive, practice is proscriptive, practice is encouragement, practice is what is our life, practice is what we do to attain and manifest our life. Practice is what we need to clarify so that we no longer are blinded and entangled in what causes suffering and harm for us and others. Not knowing how near the truth is. We seek it far away. Not knowing how intimate truth, Dharma, practice is. Not dependent on us doing, not doing, and yet completely requiring us doing. Now, see, hear, receive, maintain. Do we see without doing, or do we see because we are doing? See, hear. Do we not hear, not see what's right in front of us? Not receive what we can't avoid. Not maintain what we always are. So, Shoko reminds us, however we use the word practice, practice is being knower. learning to be no one, because we always are no one. Learning to be no one, because we always are no one. Then it's easy to be the form of no form, to be the thought of no thought, or as Hakuin said, then we sing and dance as the voice of the Dharma. Whether going or returning, we cannot be any place else, he reminds us. So, practice is learning to be no one, as Choko says, not giving solidity to any belief system, just this being, just this moment. And yet the simplicity of just being over and over is covered up by belief systems that seem to us more significant, more important, more valid than this no one who we always are and yet must learn to be. Learning to be is not learning something new, but ceasing to hinder who and what this no one, who and what we always are. No one is this moment as our life, as your life, as my life, as the life of all we encounter. Then belief systems are seen for the effervescence they are, coming and going. We're never any place else. It's not anywhere else. And yet we sometimes fool ourselves, convince ourselves otherwise and make trouble, or are convinced by others. This is practice, is learning what we always are, to be no one, to be no one, or learning all the ways we refuse in this moment, in this encounter, in this breath, to be, and then you fill in what we're convincing ourselves to be, that puts blinders on our eyes and covers our ears, so we miss what we can't miss. We miss what we can't miss. We give solidity and more. We weaponize belief systems. I am, I'm not, he is, she isn't, she does better, I do worse. What do we avoid? We avoid and run in many ways from what we think is unhappiness. Rather than experiencing it when it seems to be so, then we could discover that it's an effervescence. It's what allows us to do the practice that Yoko says of learning to be no one. or learning to be happy, learning to be what we always are by not giving, not making true, solid, the effervescent thoughts of unhappy, not good enough. Therefore, it's rarely encountered. What's rarely encountered? Now, now, now. That's why Zazen is so simple. And our unwillingness to experience our believed unhappy stories keeps us from the happiness, if I use such a word. That's the word Joko uses. That is, if I say it, our birthright. Before we wander off among those who are unhappy and troubled, not knowing how near this truth is, and we keep on seeking it there and there. Sometimes this comes like that. Sometimes it comes tiny bit by bit by bit by bit, glimmers of this and that. So sometimes it seems we slowly, as Joko says, slowly increase awareness of who, like we are. Slowly increase our awareness, she says, of who we are and how we relate to life, how we do or don't do what's skillful, how we discover, oh, I'm doing that. That makes me feel suffering, that results in harm. I didn't even see that I was doing that. How long have I been saying that to myself? How long have I been entangling in my story about what she did? 5 days ago, 5 weeks ago, 5 years ago, 50 years ago. How long has my sense of being mistreated and needing to avenge, needing revenge, resulted in harming to self and others? Whether it's so-called mind individually entanglement or the entanglement of large groups of people, we certainly see that. We certainly see how avenging results in such terrible suffering for us and others. Such terrible suffering. Holding on to our desires of vengeance warps and distorts our life, and sometimes is the worst vengeance that we wreak upon ourselves as we plan and consider and are sure that we need to be vengeful to them for what they did, he did, she did. Don't even know who did it. This generation, last generation, generations back. if, when you notice such thoughts, I encourage you to take that as a reminder, if at all possible, to stop for a moment and viscerally embody, viscerally give yourself over to experiencing how vengeance, whether it's little words or big words or amorphous feelings, not to try to get rid of them, because there's nothing to get rid of. They come and go. They're just little puffs of smoke that we solidify and then suffer and cause such harm to ourselves and others as a result of. Even scientifically, they've shown what it does to brain and body and to all the systems of being human when we indulge in that. And yet, we so easily indulge in that. What's worse is our media indulges in it. Sometimes our so-called education, and as we know, the new modern forms of media, whether TikTok, podcasts, or you name them, that keep multiplying, play on that. It's a drug that drugs us and drugs the universe into such difficulties. It's a life of drama when from the beginning, practice, if I use the word, is being a life of no drama. And we could, as Joko says, we could see it as practice is moving from a life of drama to a life of no drama. So, being most ordinary, most plain. The wonderful taste of Dharma is the plain, ordinary moment right here, right now. But it requires us to embrace this no drama, ordinary moment. Learning to embrace that, we come to appreciate who and what we always are. And Joko reminds us, that's exactly what the Dharma is. Practice is always, she says, always returning to true self. We say true self, but no need to say true self. And yet there's need to say true self, because we're sure we know what the self is, the collection of stories and vengeance and likes and dislikes that blind us. So, in a sense, and this is most important, because we always want to come to some sort of conclusions about things and make pronouncements, whether maybe just to ourselves or maybe to someone else. Joko says, practice is finally understanding that although everything is a mess, all is well. Thank you.